Welcome to Unlocking Secrets for Women. This is your host, Candace Newton, and I have in studio with me today, Dr. Geralyn Pryor. Dr. Geralyn Pryor is a noted physician. She's an endocrinologist, professor of endocrinology at UBC, at the University of British Columbia, here in Vancouver, BC. She's one of a group of physicians who received the Nobel Peace Prize back in 1984 for Physicians Against Nuclear War. She has over 200 publications and holds 6 patents. Her website, www.semcor.ubc.ca, is the Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research. Her website receives about 40,000 hits per month from all over the world. Dr. Pryor and her team are known for their integral research into the issues of menopause, perimenopause, hormones, and osteoporosis on behalf of women. In fact, it's Dr. Geralyn Pryor's research that has actually connected osteoporosis and menopause and connected that link. So I'm just so pleased to have her here today. Welcome to Unlocking Secrets for Women, Dr. Pryor.
Thanks, Candace.
Dr. Pryor, you have an amazing historical background for your passion about women's issues, particularly in medicine. One of the things that I'm really struck on is your Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research. Can you just tell me, Dr. Pryor, what was your passion for starting SEMCOR?
I've been studying women's cycles for a long time, and I became convinced that ovulation was extremely important. I think that ovulation disturbances, meaning not making an egg or making too little progesterone, the hormone of ovulation, is linked to not only osteoporosis, but probably also breast cancer and heart disease, the big three problems for women.
Wow.
So I wanted to focus the research and to gather resources. That's why I founded the Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research 5 years ago.
And what is unique about SEMCOR, and how is SEMCOR different?
SEMCOR is different because it's created by women for women, and it's it doesn't take pharmaceutical funding. It's focused on ovulation. It's the only research center in the world that is focused on ovulation. Well, obviously, there are fertility clinics that work on ovulation, but this is focused on the relationship between women's health and ovulation.
That's amazing, and that's kind of unusual. I don't think there's anything really like it. Are you aware of anything else in North America?
No.
So you're really unique in what you do.
Yes.
That's unbelievable. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that I know that women are asking all the time, and I think they're pretty all-encompassing. So here you go. Here's a typical woman. She's having bad hot flashes and regular periods. How do you figure that? So she's saying, basically, I thought sweats meant my estrogen levels were low. Can it be? Like, my breasts are sore, my periods are heavy. Can you explain? Can you address that, Dr. Pryor? What's going on here?
Okay, that's a very good question. The concept, as this person implies, is that estrogen levels have to be low in order to provoke the thing we call hot flushes. It's a magnificent discharge of all kinds of brain hormones that make you feel pretty darn awful. At any rate, what we know is it's not low levels, it's dropping, the act of dropping. And in a woman who's having heavy periods, sore breasts, regular cycles, sounds like she's in perimenopause, and her estrogen levels are soaring to double the highest they ever ought to be in the middle of the month.
Good grief.
But they also come crashing down. Well, that dropping estrogen is what triggers the hot flush. And it even can be from high to normal dropping that triggers it, not just normal to low.
So how does that get resolved? Like, what does a woman do about that? Because it can be pretty aggravating and disturbing to her moods and her physical symptoms and
wake her up at night and Yeah. Well, there's no consensus about this. There's no agreement among physicians or experts about what to do for hot flushes and night sweats that occur when a woman is still menstruating, or in other words, in perimenopause. The current recommendation is something like the birth control pill or starting hormone therapy, but there's no evidence that it's effective.
So there's a lot of women running around thinking, if I just take the pill, everything's going to settle me down. But there's not, you're saying there's no evidence that that's true.
That's right. In other words, the kind of studies that we use to answer a question like that are double-blind. The doctor and the person in the study doesn't know what they're taking, and randomized, so it's a chance whether you'll get the placebo or the active medicine, and they're controlled by something that's totally inactive. Now, the interesting thing is that there's a 40 or 50% improvement even on placebo.
Wow.
So
wow.
If you believe something is going to help, then you're less stressed about it, and it does help.
That's amazing, because I think stress is, I think, a contributing factor.
Definitely.
Is it not, to symptoms?
Mm-hmm.
And women, of course, are more and more active these days. They're more involved in their lives. They have, you know, they're being the head of the home more than ever before. Their responsibilities have increased. They're more corporate now than they've ever been before. It would make sense that their stress levels were higher.
That's right.
Wow.
So stress is something that can reducing stress can definitely make hot flushes better.
That's really hopeful to know, because not only does a woman feel like she's got some control, then I can control this to some degree, but it's also perfect for her, because anything that you use to reduce stress is health generated and preventative in health nature.
That's right, exactly.
Wow, that's very good news. Not very many people tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And women going through, as you say, perimenopause, and can you just briefly define perimenopause, because I think it's a bit of a phenomenon. We all get what menopause is, but I think perimenopause, even though among women it's probably known, what is the general public?
Okay, let me just be careful to define both.
Okay.
Because we use the term menopause to mean everything changing in a woman who's midlife or older. And more specifically to me, menopause means you've been a year without your period and you're not likely to get another. In other words, you've graduated into that new era of life. But peri is the time of change before menopause.
Hmm. Okay, so that can be, I've heard that can be quite long.
It can be 10 years.
Oh, good grief. And so if you've got all these fluctuations in estrogen and other hormones, and you're getting night sweats and mood changes, and then a woman can start thinking that she's crazy.
That's exactly right. And the important thing to realize is that these hormonal swings can trigger not only the hot flushes, but also mood changes as well.
And I wonder how many women have gone to the doctor saying, there's something wrong with me, I'm not thinking straight, and I feel confused, and I've got all these symptoms, and yet I still have a regular period, so it couldn't possibly be anything to do with my hormones, and then they get given a pill for settling down their moods, or pats on the head, maybe.
Even more confusing is that a doctor will commonly order a blood test called follicle-stimulating hormone. That's a pituitary hormone that, if it's sky high and it stays high, can tell you that you're menopausal. But in perimenopause, it can be high for a couple of days and then low again. In other words, in perimenopause, it doesn't give you the answer you want. So a woman may be told by her doctor, you're not in perimenopause or you're not in menopause because your FSH is normal. And that makes her think the doctor's no good. And so the key is, don't have the test in the first place, because it's not going to give you the answer you want.
So really, what should a woman do if she's suspecting that she could possibly be in this perimenopause? I know that you've written a great book called The Estrogen Storm Season, and that is a book, I believe, that depicts these different various stages for women and
yes.
Some of the symptoms that go along with it. And it's fictional, but it's based on factual science.
That's right. But that book is for women having a horrible time. I want to make sure you understand that 80% of women don't have a horrible time. They notice changes in periods. They might have the odd night sweat. They might have the odd hot flush in the daytime. They might notice their breasts are sore or that they're more likely to get PMS-type symptoms. But it isn't something they can't cope with. So it's only about 20% that run into the kind of difficulty the woman asking the question has, where she's got heavy bleeding, she's got really sore breasts, she's got night sweats, and she's miserable.
So, and they can get your book, The Estrogen Storm Season, at all bookstores and off your website at semcor.ubc.ca.
That's right.
Now, you know, I know that there's a couple of other things I want to address, and one of them is, you know, a lot of women say, I like being a woman, but I hate all that period stuff. I get cramps and clots and leaking, and, you know, should I take that period-stopping pill? What's your response to that?
Good question again. As everybody knows, there's now the option to continue taking the birth control pills, not just for the first 21 days, but to continue for 42 days in seasonal, or to continue without a break at all in other kinds of pills. Well, I think the first thing, if my daughter were asking that, would be to say, well, I don't blame you for wanting to get rid of your period if you're having those symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to take the cramps and the clots seriously.
Uh-huh.
And both of those things mean that estrogen's probably too high and progesterone's probably too low.
Uh-huh.
Now, the first thing I would do is to explain to the woman how to get rid of the cramps.
How do you get rid of
everybody
cramps?
Knows about ibuprofen, non-steroidal, anti-inflammatory, or, you know, the over-the-counter kind of medicines.
Right?
It's part also of many other preparations for cramps. But they and the pharmacists and the doctors will often say, well, just take one every 4 hours. Right?
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't work, because this is not a pill to get rid of symptoms. It's a pill to stop the production of the hormone that's causing the symptoms. So you have to stay ahead of the production of prostaglandins, which are made in the lining of the uterus and the muscle of the uterus,
right,
in order to prevent the cramps. So if I started to feel that heavy feeling way down low in my pelvis and I knew I was going to get cramps, I would take two right off the bat. Now that means you've got to carry ibuprofen with you all the time.
Right.
So you take two. Now if, say, an hour and a half later I'm starting to get that feeling again, I need to take another one now.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to wait for 4 hours, because then I'll be behind the game.
Ah, it's like pain management.
Yes.
Before the pain gets out of control.
It is in a way, but it's even more crucial than with pain management, because you're trying to prevent the formation of the hormone that makes the cramps.
Wow, I see.
And the other good thing is that ibuprofen is going to decrease the heaviness of flow also.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm. It decreases it by anywhere from a quarter to a half.
Wow.
So just knowing those two things are likely to make her period more acceptable to her.
Which would probably eliminate the frustration in the first place to a certain degree.
That's right.
Because it's education she needs.
That's right. Now, if she says, look, I'm not in a relationship. If, you know, something comes up, I'm going to use barriers,
uh-huh,
you know, condom, and I've got this spermicidal jelly I'll use besides. So I really don't need contraception. I just need something for cramps and these clots and heavy flow.
Oh, something to manage them.
That's right.
And then, because there's got to be a huge risk with these young people, well, any woman taking the pill. I mean, when you're messing with hormones, you're messing with hormones.
What I think about the extended birth control pill is that it's treading on therapy that is not proven over a long run. And if I were to say to you, have there been double-blind, randomized, those magic words, placebo-controlled trials of extended or continuous birth control pill, what would you say?
I would say, I don't know if they've had them or not.
You'd say probably.
Yeah.
But the FDA has approved them, and some of them have been approved in Canada as well.
So you'd
but
feel
you
safe,
would be
you
wrong.
Think? You would be wrong?
You would be wrong, because the trials that have been done compared with the standard 21 days on and 7 days off birth control.
Oh, so, wow.
And that, I think, is fundamentally wrong, because it assumes that someone taking the pill has normal physiology. That's not the right comparison. And because some women, just like the one asking the question, may be wanting to use this to get rid of a period rather than for contraception. So you need to compare it against somebody who's having cramps, heavy flow, and probably not perfectly regular periods, who's taking a placebo.
Then you're going to get something more honest and
accurate.
Then
you're going to be able to accurately compare.
And you know, that's the thing with women today. I mean, I sure don't have to tell you this. Women are so now wanting to partner in their own health. They're just so sick and tired of being patronized by the medical community, and not intending that they would do that. But for too long, we've placed doctors in this place of God, that they would know everything. And yet women are the greatest revealer of their own symptoms. And for them to be able to start to partner in their own health, women are more and more educated. They are searching the internet. They're looking for truth and facts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important that they know this stuff and get a chance to be told. And I think you're a little bit of a rarity, because you'll say it. You'll come out in there and tell them the truth, so that they can have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
and recognize what real education is, and that they just don't stop start putting things into their body and trusting everything that goes on there, but they need to listen to themselves. And I think, from what I've known about your research, you're really encouraging women to take themselves seriously and their symptoms seriously, and that they're
responsible.
Yeah, and that there's hope for them, and that is partnering together with their health. So now I'm going to throw something at you there, Dr. Pryor, put you on the spot a little bit. I know that you're not going to give someone a diagnosis, because that's not what you would do, but I want to just branch off for a second and talk about some phenomenon we've seen in the news. There's a young, very famous young girl, Britney Spears, right now, who's going what the public thinks is completely AWOL. And I look at this young girl and I think she's had two babies in a very short period of time. And hormones are a huge contributor to mood swings and postpartum depression and many, many other activities. Without diagnosing Brittany, because obviously you can't do that, is there a possibility that this kind of behavior that we're seeing from her, which is erratic, could have its root in hormone imbalance?
I don't know the story myself. I haven't heard any of this, so I'm only getting it from you.
Right.
But
it's all over the news.
There are major emotional changes that can occur after a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made worse by the sleep deprivation, waking up every few hours to nurse a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
Or to bottle feed them.
Right.
And I think that women today are more vulnerable to that, because they have so many other tasks besides simply caring for a baby. And also, we don't nowadays have the extended family
right.
that we used to have, an auntie, a grandma, a mama, you know, people who were family and could just take over for a while.
Let's provide that support system.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, obviously you don't know much about Brittany, but it's all over the news. I mean, it's constant with her behavior. She's just lost custody of her children because of her erratic behavior. And it's a tough case to see. Have you, as a physician, either heard or been aware of, for instance, young teenagers, where they were perhaps diagnosed as psychotic in their behavior, when in truth it was hormonal imbalance? Have you ever heard of that?
Well, I think it's important to realize that both the hormones and, you know, big emotional behavior originate in the brain.
Uh-huh.
And that it's really not possible to say this is entirely because of hormones and this is entirely because of the emotional reaction you're having. You have to think of them as part and parcel of the same thing.
I see.
So, yes, indeed, I have seen people with hormonal imbalance who act like they have some psychiatric disease. And when the hormonal imbalance is resolved, their emotional problem goes away. Mm-hmm. And obviously also, there's always the environment, the situation, the person's own past experiences and the challenges in their own lives.
And the contributing factors that could mm-hmm. create those environments. Well, you know, it's very interesting because in this day and age, women are just no longer accepting everything that's thrown at them, and they really are hungry and desirous to know what can they do for their own health. They really are taking charge of their own health, and SEMCOR, certainly, from what I've read and seen, your website, which receives about 40,000 page hits a month to your site, and that's without any promotion. That's just women hungry all over the world to say, let's get in touch with a credible scientist and some amazing researchers that you have with you who are really dedicated to finding out the truth about what's going on inside of women with studies that I see are laced with integrity and very trustworthy.
One of the things, Candace, that gives me credibility is that in spite of being, well, let's say harassed because I didn't believe what everybody believed in the past, that hormones would prevent heart disease, etc., I predicted that estrogen would be shown to cause more heart disease rather than to prevent it.
Wow.
And I predicted that 10 years before the results of the Women's Health Initiative came out.
That's amazing. How come we didn't know about this?
Well, it's taking the good science and asking, well, in fact, one of the things that stuck in my mind was that years and years ago in the 70s, a trial was done to see whether or not estrogen helped heart disease in men.
Oh, wow.
That trial was a disaster. The men felt awful. They got blood clots. They got more heart attacks. The trial was stopped early.
Wow.
And rather than learning from that and saying at least pill form of estrogen is not likely to make heart disease better, we went on to do huge observational studies that didn't have controls, that didn't have placebos, that weren't randomized.
Good grief. And we put women in a vulnerable place through
yes.
that study.
We caused significant harm to women, which is one of the reasons that so many women now are asking questions. They're saying, I don't really trust doctors. Mm-hmm. I don't really trust this organization or that organization because they didn't question before this big idea that menopause was estrogen deficiency, therefore estrogen was going to prevent heart disease.
So what has the mindset of doctors changed now since that? Or are we still getting stuck in this sort of type of thinking that isn't progressive?
Unfortunately, the notion that menopause is estrogen deficiency hasn't budged.
Really?
Because I think it's tied in with the social concept that women are just not quite okay, that we sort of need fixing by something.
Oh, good grief.
Some kind of hormone, some kind of cosmetic something, you know. In other words, that's a cultural concept. In addition, those doctors who are most likely to say, yes, take estrogen, it's going to make you feel great, you're going to be sexy, you're going to be healthy, you're going to live forever. Hmm. Those doctors are running a bit scared because they are saying, ooh, what if somebody sued me? Because I had a blood clot when I went on estrogen, or because I developed breast cancer.
Hmm. And there is such a significant increase in breast cancer. It's scary. how many stats there are.
Mm-hmm.
And heart disease being the number one killer of women, and then breast cancer, like one out of every four women can be diagnosed if I've got my stats right. And it's becoming scary. And I think women have had enough.
The interesting thing is that the increase in breast cancer is 90% in estrogen receptor positive breast cancer.
Wow.
Which makes the treatment with birth control pills, with hormone quote replacement therapy, and other estrogen products much more likely to be part of the reason for it.
And here we are searching for the, you know, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on research for breast cancer, which I think is fabulous, but we're not even looking at the basic, most fundamental potential contributor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. And we're thinking this is an epidemic of breast cancer, and it most certainly is. And it's
my belief is that having too much estrogen and not enough progesterone during the 35 or so years in which we menstruate is one of the hidden risk factors for breast cancer.
Unbelievable. We have got to get this word out to women. They need to hear this. They need to be told medical, factual, scientific truth that's not propaganda-driven or motivated by sales of something, but the absolute truth that genuinely cares about their health. Dr. Pryor, what you have and what you're doing with SEMCOR and your researchers and the science and the huge amount of science that's behind you is commendable. And as a woman myself in this North American continent, I personally want to thank you on behalf of myself and my daughters and my family for the research that you have so diligently pursued and the sort of punches on the chin you've taken in the medical industry for saying things that appear to be controversial and not go with the flow, and yet they were laced with truth. Thank you for what you're doing for me, my daughters, the women that I know.
Well, you're welcome, Candace.
I'm deeply grateful, and I think you're a gift not only to this continent, but to this world. And I think that women need to hear more about it. And so I'm encouraging you to go to www.semcor.ubc.ca to learn more about Dr. Pryor and her research. You can also pick up a copy of The Estrogen Storm Season through your bookstore. If your bookstore doesn't have them, tell them to get it. You can look at it at SEMCOR. And just in closing, I heard a little rumor that you are co-writing a book called The Estrogen Conspiracy. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the title's going to be, but it's going to be about estrogen and our misunderstanding of it, and also why progesterone is safer and more important.
That's fantastic. And when do you think we could expect that book?
We're working on it now, and we have to get it to the publisher, and it should be in the next year or two.
And I bet you it'll fly right off the shelf, because I think women have been waiting. Dr. Pryor, thank you so much for joining us on Unlocking Secrets for Women. I appreciate your time. I know you're extremely busy, and your time means a lot to us.
Thank you, Candace.